Thanks, Radio Sport.
Fast am I. Good afternoon. Radio Caroline will be back with you shortly, but for now, welcome along to Saturday Sport Classified with me, Rhianne Evans. Good to have you here with me on AM. So, coming up on the show today, an autumnal sport that many of you may not realise gets played competitively.
It's like unique, so it's like you kind of feel like you're excited about it.
It's just a lovely event and, you know, long may it continue, really.
A local 70-year-old celebrates her birthday in style with a massive indoor triathlon.
When she started, she couldn't run at all. She's just come on leaps and bounds.
And, of course, I've got all the latest football, hockey and rugby results for you to sink your teeth into, all coming up here on Manx Radio, the home of Manx Sport. So thank you very much for your company today, and we'll dive straight into the results, starting with the football in the Men's Premier League. We have Ayr 3, Douglas Athletic 2, Corinthians 2, Ramsey 1, Laxey 1, Douglas Old Boys 6, Moran 1, St George's 0, St John's 1, Rushen 5 and St Mary's 2, Peel 1. Looking at JCK Division 2, we've got Braddon 1, Ramsey Youth Centre 0, Colby 3, Castletown 2, Foxdale 0, Union Mills 6, Jims 0, Onken 1, Michael 2, Governors Athletic 5, and the Pullrose and Maloo match didn't go ahead because Pullrose couldn't field a team, unfortunately. I haven't yet got the score for the Douglas Athletic versus Ayr game in Combi 1. So if you do happen to have that score handy, text me on 166177. That'd be massively helpful. Thank you very much. Ramsey 0, Corinthians 8, Douglas Old Boys 4, Laxey 3. Same again, I haven't got the St George's Moran game score. So 166177 if you'd be so kind. Rushen 15, St John's 1. And in Combi 2, I haven't yet got the Ramsey Youth Centre versus Braddon score. Castletown versus Colby, that game was postponed. And Union Mills 5, Foxdale 0. I haven't got the score for Onken versus Jims yet. And then finally, Governors Athletic 3, Michael 3. Moving on now to hockey, and we've got the Women's Prem. Castletown 1, Backers A 0. Ramsey 0, Saracens 2, Harlequins and Valcaise. I haven't yet got that score, so if you happen to have it again, 166177. In the Men's Prem, Saracens A 2, Valcaise A 5, Backers B 1, Vikings B 2, Vikings A 14, Harlequins A 0, and the Ramsey A versus Backers A game that had a late start, so we'll get those results to you as soon as we get them in. In the Women's Div 1, we've got Vikings B 3, Backers C 0, Vikings C 0, Backers B 6, and Valkyries C 0, Castletown B 1. And in the Men's Division 1, we have Ramsey B 1, Vikings C 6, Castletown B 1, Backers Colts 2, Valkyries B 12, Saracens B 0, and the Harlequins B and Castletown A game that also has a late start, so... Some Spoon's giving me the nod to say that we've got those results, so we'll get them to you as soon as we come to hockey. And finally, in the rugby, the Douglas 1 versus Douglas 2 game, that had a late start, so we'll get those results to you as soon as they come in. Vagabonds 1, 28. Ramsey 1, 27. In the Manx Bowl, Emerging Nomads 37, Ramsey 2, 5. Western Vikings 14, Vagabonds 2, 69. And Vaggers Ladies 56, Castletown 101. So coming back up to the start, and we've got Sam Spooner in the studio with me, so we're going to start with hockey today. How are you doing, Sam?
Yeah, sorry, I'm not really prepared for this, such an early start.
It's unheard of, isn't it? So it looks like there were some massive, massive, massive results in the hockey today. So let's start with the Women's Prem. Castletown A 1, Backers A 0.
Yeah, that's a massive result for Castan, eh? It keeps them fighting up in that for that championship title with Vikings, eh?
Is that a surprising result?
To be honest, I thought Backers A might just edge it. I knew it was going to be a fairly close game, but Castan, eh, again, I said yesterday, they were going to make me eat my own
words.
And they have done again. And what a result. Backers A, for the most part, had most of the possession, but Castan A scored early on, 1-0 first half. and Bakaze just couldn't quite get the finish they needed to earn a point or two. So yeah, really well done to Castan. It keeps them in second place. They've scored more goals than any other team in the league still, with 25 goals for. And they're going really, really well this season. I wouldn't be surprised to see them challenging the likes of Valkyries for that second spot. Maybe, maybe just challenging Vikings.
Well, I mean, I think you should continue voting against Castletown because it obviously works in their favour. And also, proud mum Jane Howland actually messaged me earlier saying Castletown A versus Bakaze, that's the two Howland sisters going head-to-head. So Sophie's sister Molly was playing for Castletown. So... tension in the family household tonight, hopefully not. But moving on to Ramsey versus Saracens, another huge result. You yourself said that you were stunned by this result. It was Ramsey 0, Saracens 2.
Yeah, and it just shows how much work Ramsey have got to do. I mean, Saracens have been whipped a bit this season. They've had some big losses, but today they played the game straight after me up at Ramsey Grammar, and I saw them warming up. They looked really keen to go ahead, so smiles all round, and it showed. 1-0 first half, 2-0 second half. Dulcie Tio and Emma Roberts on the score sheet for Saracens, which is a massive result for them. It's their first two goals of the season. It's their first 2 points of the season. That's really going to help them kick on and really challenge Ramsey for that sort of 6th, 7th position and maybe just push into that 5th position with Valkyries being there.
And I personally don't have the Harlequins versus Valkyries A result yet. I don't know if you have it handy.
I've just got a message. Is that it? 10-1 to Valkyries A.
Is that a... predictable results, would you say?
Pretty much, I'd say. Harlequins have been, again, they've been struggling, similar to the way to Saracens have, but if they look at Saracens, that should be an inspiration for them, because today, that's a huge result for Saracens. I still can't look past it on the score sheet. but Valkyrie showing their title credentials, and that pushes them into third place and level on points with Vikings and Castletown as well.
Moving on to the men's prem, we've got Saracens A2, Valkyrie A5.
Yes, Saracens A given Valkyries A a really good game. Valkyries A, massive result last week against Vikings A. You seem to always fail at one sort of hurdle every season, and Valkyries A put them to the sword last week. But they overcame a determined Saracens A side. Corey Vaughan and Thomas Dalton Brown on the score sheet for Saracens A. Valkyries A, Duren Killier with two. Probably the oldest player in the team, Steve Cottier, Kieran Gell and Robin Masson on the score sheet for Valkyries A.
Now, this next game was the one that you predicted to be the game of the day. So, Backers B, 1, Vikings B, 2.
Yeah, and I predicted on Friday night a Vikings B win. And this lunchtime, I actually predicted a Backers B win. because it was one of those, it could have gone either way, and it was such a close game. The reports I've had from the game were that it was just a mighty game to watch. Neither team left anything on the pitch. And what it does do is move Vikings B into fourth place. And like I said, that fight for that fourth position is really, really tight, with Ramsey A, Backers B and Vikings B all in there. And Backers B and Vikings B desperate to do their first teams a favour, if possible, in the second half of the season.
Vikings A 14, Harlequins A 0.
Yeah, expected result. Really, I thought Harlequins A might be able to keep it below 10, even maybe nick a goal themselves.
You did predict this to be 9-1 to Vikings.
I did. And I wasn't too far wrong. You know, Harlequins could have done me a favour and scored at least.
But... maybe avoid going to Vegas.
John Cooper with 3. Archie Cayley with 3. Dom Hubble and Eddie Cayley both with 2. Steve Ronan, Stevie Crow and Al Birch with their 1-0. And that's a result that Vikings A really needed, and probably the game that Vikings A needed after last week.
I don't have the result for Ramsey A versus Bakaze yet. I don't.
No, that hasn't come into me yet, but that was a late start.
No problem. Women's Div 1, we've got Vikings B 3, Bakaze C 0.
Yeah, this looked like it could have been a particularly interesting set of results, but what it does prove is that these two B teams are going head-to-head for this title. Charlie Millwood with 2 and Ava Melnick for Vikings B against Backers C. Backers B versus Vikings C. Sam Franklin, Neve Goddard, Isabella Craig and Ellie Harris all scoring 1 and Claire Mason with 2. And that puts both Vikings B and Backers B on 6 points, goal difference of 11. So it's only separated by goals scored at this point in time, which Vikings B have 2 more goals than Backers B, so a really, really tight top half of the table there.
And we've got Valkyries C 0, Castletown B 1.
Yeah, a little bit surprised by this. Valkyries C changed things up a little bit today and didn't quite work out for them. They had a few chances, but they didn't really have... You know, Castletown B are a really, really good side defensively. I mean, if you look at the table, they've only conceded 5 goals. And when you look at the standard of some of the other sides in that league, really, really tough. And that is actually Valkyrie's first goal conceded this year. So they shouldn't be too disheartened by that. They're still there, or thereabouts. It's only 2 points behind the league leaders. And I still think they'll have a massive say in the destination of the title this year.
Moving on to men's Div 1, we've got Ramsey B 1, Viking C 6.
Yeah, Viking C proving their sort of credentials in the top half of the table there. Ramsey B, though, made a really good account of themselves. They were a little short on players today. I mean, even the old Ian Woods came out for a game today, and I heard he quite enjoyed it, so might see him quite a bit more. Dan Stevenson on the score sheet for Ramsey B. Lee Carroll with a really well-taken hat-trick, and Richie Gelder with two, and I myself with one.
Yes, how was the game for you?
A little bit painful in the end, but
it
hit the ground with a bit of a thud, but yeah, I'm all right.
You're up and walking, which is good to see. Is the ground okay? Very good. And then we've got Castletown B 1, Backers Colts 2.
A really, really tight game. And I think Tim Leeming, the Backers Colts captain, really thought it was a draw, because I got the text message it was 2-2. Castletown B, one of the Savage brothers, who I've been really impressed with so far this season. They look super skillful. And with a bit more development, they are going to be some real hot prospects. William Savage there, and Pete Duchars, second week back, and another couple of goals for him. So it's like he's never been away.
Starting strong, very good. Valkyries B 12, Saracens B 0, but Saracens B only had 9 players.
Yeah, Saracens B have struggled this season for for full side. The first game of the season they had to forfeit because they couldn't field a full side, and yeah, they're still doing well. They're still enjoying themselves. They're not worried about it in any way, shape or form. But Valkyries B, it was always going to be a hard game for them anyway. So Dean Betteridge with 2, Mark Moyer, Rob Milchreist with 2, Mike Deal with 3, and then Chris Thomas, Chris Walton and Dave Hall with 1 each as well. And notes here to say outstanding and unselfish performance by Neil Jacobs, which seems to suggest he got the lion's share of the assists.
Well done, Neil Jacobs. And the Harlequins being Castletown A game had a late start. So.
I do have a result for that one.
Fantastic.
Thank you to Julie Watterson, who's been keeping me updated minute by minute for the past 30 minutes. Castletown A 11-1 against Harlequins B, which is a really, really good result for them. And if you look at the goals scored in the top half of this men's Division 1, you've got Valkyries B, who scored 27, Viking C 26, Backers Men's Colts 21, Castown Men's A 25. You need to see some mighty head-to-head games between these two.
And also, last night, I don't know the scores, but the Isle of Man under-14s girls team played Guernsey School up at King William's College. I don't suppose you've heard back.
I do, and the Isle of Man under-14s team won 3-1.
Fantastic.
And I've got the scores here. They were Hannah Nuttall, Lucy Murphy and Olivia Quayle. Really, really well played.
Fantastic. Well done to them. And also the Isle of Man King William's College girls are away in Guernsey today playing. So
I haven't had any results or any updates for that one just yet.
Okay. Well, fingers crossed for them. And thank you very much, Sam Spooner.
Thank you.
It was an unusual experience speaking to you first. And Tony Meffam is in the studio to talk through some football. How are you today, Tony?
Fine, thank you.
Weather?
Yeah, weather's good. It's a little bit dark out there. But just while we're talking about the weather, don't forget, next week we're okay. We're 2:30 kickoffs, but the week after, we're going to 2 o'clock when the weather gets
darker. Makes sense.
Sarky.
Okay, so we mentioned yesterday that this seemed to be a week of not necessarily tight games, really, but it looks like quite a lot went on today. So starting in the Prem, we have Ayr 3, Douglas Athletic 2.
I'm going to pass on to the hockey correspondent for this one because his comment downstairs was actually absolutely spot on. Let's have a look at the main result today. Moran 1, St George's 0. Just explain what you said to me downstairs, Sam.
Unbelievable, stunning result. That's, 2 weeks on the bounce. The 2-2 draw against Rushen last week.
1-1, yeah.
And now they've beat another title challenger in Geordies. I mean, that's just outstanding. I don't think I've heard of that in the 5-6 years I've been doing this hockey correspondent job.
Well, that just shows you what an important result it is, because battling at the bottom of the table as well, with Old Boys winning today, if Moran had lost, that would have been a huge gap for Moran and St John's to try and claw back. But today, I've said it before.
What are they doing right?
I don't know. Whatever David Brew has said to them, fair play to him, because he's getting the results for them. You know, last week, 1-1, Owen Hurt got the goal, but certainly today And Connor Gilbert, no wonder, I've just sent a text to his dad to try and find out the combi score. And they're probably still dancing around the house celebrating that result. And I believe it was 47 minutes, so it was two minutes. Well, when I say 47, it was in the first half, 2 minutes into injury time. But that's an amazing scoreline against St George's. And Moran now putting a bit of pressure on the teams around them because, you know, Peel lost today, so they're coming back down into that. St John's lost, so it's a real tussle for that second place. I think it does look as if St John's are going to have a dramatic change of fortune in the second set of fixtures to stay in this league. But the other one now, that's getting as interesting, is at the top of the table.
And Moran seems to be a real underdog story. I'm just imagining Cool Runnings, like, you know, when they go to the Olympics and no one know, you know, everyone doesn't sort of think much of Jamaica, and then of course they become the fan favourite. So that's
well, this
how
is
I'm
you want.
Thinking
and
of Moran.
To be honest with you, I looked at the team sheet for last week. When I went through it and I touched on it at lunchtime, there's a bit of like middle age group players there, sort of 25-ish. So they should be sort of coming to their prime now. But there's a glut of young players. And when they sign Nathan Teare and even Owen Hurt, because he comes from good stock, that's Nick's son. And, you know, he's been a good goal scorer already. And when I saw Nathan Teare sign, I thought, well, that's worth quite a few points per season to them, because Nathan is a top goalkeeper. And I think if they could, someone could get a hold of him and coach him, a goalkeeping coach, maybe Pob could do something with him. I know he's done bits and bobs with him, but it's there, you can see it's there. He's played
talent
for the Ireland under 18s, but he's just had a couple of nasty injuries. I think one was his ankle and something else, and I think someone just needs to get a hold, because you know, the number one position on the Isle of Man is open for grabs. I think, you know, you've got Matthew Quirk there, you've got Glenn Walker, two fantastic goalkeepers, Dean Kearns as well. But I'm looking for the next one. And Harry Horbury, as good a goalkeeper he is, you know, Harry's always going to, you know, the height of him. But Nathan's got the lot. He's 6'3", 6'4". But I just wonder about the Ramsey goalkeeper as well, because when I watched him against St Mary's, he's a young lad and I just thought he's got something about him. So it's good signs for the Ireland teams, FC Isle of Man as well, for younger goalkeepers coming through the system. It's nice to see.
Good. Let's go through these results then in the Prem. So starting with Ayr versus Douglas Athletic, Ayr 3, Douglas Athletic 2.
No doubt about it. The star today was Danny Oram. He got a hat-trick, a great performance by him. We haven't got Douglas Athletic's goal scorers. They're probably licking their wounds. But another important 3 points for Ayr United, and well done to Danny.
Corinthians 2, Ramsey 1.
Yeah, and it was a tight old game, this one, and Dan Simpson scored after 3 minutes, so it was looking, you know, a good start for Corinthians. But then Ramsey equalised. Sean Doyle got the opportunity from the penalty spot, and Sean's class held his nerve, and he scored. Sean got a header, which you'd expect, 6-4, 6-5, to make it 3-1. And then Ramsey got another goal back. I don't know the goal scorers. We're trying to find out who got the Ramsey scores. I've sent a text. Nothing's come through yet. But it doesn't matter. 3-2. It's a tight old game. I watched Ramsey a couple of weeks ago. I get that scoreline. You know, Corinthians
good,
had
good
to be
result,
careful.
That, for Ramsey.
It's a cracking result. And Ramsey are a good side. You know, if I was sort of part of the Ramsey setup, I'd be happy with what I saw 2 weeks ago. And here you are. They just got beat by St Mary's 1-0. And here they are against the league leaders and only losing, in theory, 1-0. I'd be happy enough with that.
It's a year of the underdogs.
Could be.
Then we've got Laxey 1, Douglas Old Boys 6.
Well, you look at that one as well, because Laxey are higher up in the table, Old Boys. But again, Old Boys, we've touched on that the team is a lot stronger. You know, Robbie Ward, I believe, was immense last week against Corinthians. And today he scored two more goals, so he's playing really well. Darren Flanagan, who signed for them, he's actually a referee, but chose to play. Flanny's always scored goals, but Mikey Booth, again, he's another one, proven goal scorer for Old Boys. So it's been a great day for them. 4-1 at half time, 6-1 at the end. Chris Asbridge, it was, who got the goal for Laxey.
Of course, we've mentioned the huge result, Moran 1, St George's 0. So we'll move on to St John's 1, Rushen 5.
And I believe this was quite tight at one stage, because I think
1-1 at half time.
Yeah, I think St John's might have taken the lead through player manager Callum Taggart. Well done, Callum. And then Furu Davies got one to make it 1-1. Furu got two in the second half. Sam Ingham lashed an own goal in as well, so that doesn't help. I'll give you a bit of ribbon on that one, Sam. Jordan Watterson got a goal for Rushen as well. Probably what didn't help matters, and I don't know what stage of the game he got sent off. Kieran Brock got sent off for St John, so they're down to 10. Don't know how long for, but the important thing for Rushen is another win and puts them back on track.
We've just had a text in from Anthony. Thank you, Anthony, who says Lee Ford scored a top corner free kick for Douglas Athletic, but he's not sure on the other scorer. Good game to the ref. So thank you very much for that. Excellent. Anthony. And then we have St Mary's 2, Peel 1. Another good score for Peel. You know, it was 1-1 at half time.
Yeah, it was, but you got St Mary's 2, Peel 1. So obviously Peel, I've got where they'll be disappointed. Tom Wood scored on 29 minutes, but then Dan Bell had a penalty, and I think he could have made it 2-2, but the penalty was saved. So well done to Kirill Velev. I'm delighted to see Danny back playing. I think that might be his first game this season, maybe, because he's missed an awful lot through injury. But Stevie Priestnell, he's picked up. Stevie's 34, 35. I might be being a bit too kind to him there, but he scored one. And I've got Sammy Gellin got the other one. So, you know, good 3 points for St Mary's. I haven't had a chance to look at the league tables, but on my reckoning now, I think St Mary's have qualified. I think Rushen have qualified, and Corinthians qualified last week for the Railway Cup. So that's brilliant, because I love Boxing Day. I love watching the Railway Cup final. And it looks as if you know, we're going to have our four team. St George's with the other team we're looking at. We'll do our sums and check on that one, but we're nearly there.
Moving on to Div 2, we've got Braddon 1, Ramsey Youth Centre 0.
That's another big shock. That's for Division 2, and Jamie Spicer's the one that's got it. So well done, Jamie. Whoever refereed today, congratulations. Massive reports coming in from clubs to say how well you did. And Ramsey Youth Centre will be gutted, because with Union Mills winning, you know, that gap is now, 4 points between the top two. And then the teams below them after that, it's, you know, it was 5 at lunchtime. So, again, we'll look at the league tables later on, but that's a massive shock for Youthy.
Someone also messaged in, sorry, just to say that that game was well reffed as well.
Yeah, so well done to, I'll have a look at the appointments after, but well done to them, whoever it was. It's good to hear.
Colby 3, Castletown 2, and it's a game of the edges. Jordan Edge on one side, Mike Edge on the other.
Yeah, it was funny because it came through. He said, oh, Edge has scored. I said, which one? Because there's one playing for each side. So I don't know who got it. But Jordan Edge, we've got down as a goal, but I don't know if he got a hat-trick. So if someone could text us through, please, 166177. But James Dawson got one. And Mike Edge, you know, Mike's very experienced. And it's good to see him being able to play for Castletown and sort of play his trade onto the young lads that are there. So Castletown unlucky. But Colby got out of jail a bit, and it keeps them in touch with the teams at the top of the table.
Then we've got Foxdale 0, Union Mills 6.
Yeah, some good finishing in this one. And to be fair, I thought at half time it could have been 5-6-0 because Union Mills, Sam Kane, last week got 5. He was guilty of 2 or 3 golden opportunities today. He got one in the end when Ryan Kelly sort of played the ball into him, and he managed to took it away. Luke Booth got 3. 2 were sweet. Sweet finishes. Jordan Crawley as well. Sweet left peg. Put it in. As we touched on, Sam Kane got one. And unfortunately, Tom Corlett got an own goal. Not a lot you could do about it. Goal was goal bound. Or the shot was goal bound. And he tried to turn it away. Couldn't get it wide. And into the goal it went. So Foxdale will be disappointed. They didn't really create too many chances. So it's back to the drawing board for them. And it's just not quite there for them this year. But the positives I would take from it, you're playing against the best side, I think, in Division 2. And today it's showed again with that scoreline. And Foxdale, you know, promotion with Ramsey Youth Centre losing, it's not a no-chance situation, but it's made it a little bit harder for them.
Jim's 0, Onken 1.
Tight game. Just shows you how much Jim's have improved over the last 2 or 3 results, and Paul Whitley, Onken have got to thank. He got the goal for Onken. Not too sure what half he got it in.
And then we've got Michael 2, Governors Athletic 5.
Yeah, don't know how the scoring went, but I know Custodian Matsaroff got one. Reese Westwell got a goal. Alan Chizzo got 2, and Kostov Lazaroff got a goal as well. Pinto got one of the goals for Michael, but another good 3 points for Governors. Three last week, three this week.
And unfortunately, the Paul Rose and Malou game didn't go ahead because Paul Rose couldn't field a team. We've got a message in from someone who says, fair play to the eight lads from Paul Rose who turned up willing to play against Malou today. Some good lads in that club who deserve the most respect for trying.
Well, they do, and I've spoken to Paul Rose about this. There's not a lot you can do. When players are going to say they're going to turn up, they don't turn up. They had eight. Two were carrying injuries, but they came. And just said, you know, it's going to be so tough. We're not going to be able to run around 11 against 8. And let's face it, 130 goals conceded in 10 games. It wasn't going to be easy. So one of the other players turned up, which made it 7 because the other two had gone. I know Malou will be absolutely gutted not to get a game of football. But this is desperation stage now for Paul Rose. There's a plea now for any players out there who just want a game of football. You know, get in touch with an official from Paul Rose Football Club, or if not, get in touch with the Isle of Man FA or myself, and we'll guide you to the right person to speak to at Paul Rose. But this is a great club. Mm. It's a really good club, full of good history. You know, when you think of the trophies that they won, you know, just over 2 years ago, got promoted and everything. And at the moment, you know, the players have left them, and that, you know, we're not knocking the players that left, but this is a great club, and we want to keep them going. So if there's anyone out there, even if it's a group, 2 or 3, just help this club out to the end of the season. Then they can regroup and build again. But today it just couldn't be helped and the points will be awarded to Malou.
Moving on to Combi 1, and I don't have the score for Douglas Athletic versus Ayr yet.
No, we haven't got it yet. I've sent, unless something's come through, just give me 2 seconds if you wouldn't mind, because some have come through. But it's, again, if clubs can... you know, get the results through to us. No, there's nothing come through on that one. It does help. I know it'll be easier when it's 2 o'clock kick-off, but no, we still haven't got that Athletic against Ayr Gaming.
If you do have it, just text us 166177. It'd be great to hear from you. Ramsey 0, Corinthians 8.
Yeah, and it was 2-0 at half-time, so a great second-half performance. I'm amazed at this one because Ed Walters, the manager, and he's a top man, but Joe Middleton got 5. And Joe's a special player. He's a young lad who's learning. And, you know, big things are expected for him at Corinthians. Joe Marquez is another one. He got a goal. Mark O'Neill got one. But this is the one I'm getting. Is Kane Riding scored from a penalty spot, but man of the match. There's not very often someone scores 5 goals and doesn't get man of the match. So big mention for Kane. Well done, Kane. Great result for Corinthians. And, you know, Ramsey, unfortunately, come across the league leaders. That's played 10-1-10.
Douglas Old Boys 4, Laxey 3.
And it was Max Gelling, sorry, who got 2. And Dean France got 2. 1-1 at half-time, 4-3 at the end. I've tried to get Laxey scorers, but unfortunately we haven't got them through yet.
Haven't yet got the score for St George's versus
Mount. We've got it now. Thank you, Mr Myers. Johnny Myers has just sent it through. He thinks it's 9-0. Morgan Naylor with 4. Kean got 1. Chris Walsh got 1, Kieran Chu, Ilium Long, and there was an own goal from them too. So thank you, Johnny, for getting that score through. And we think it's 9-0, but if we've got it wrong, just confirm it and it'll be good.
And there were hat-tricks galore in the final game. Russian 15, St John's 1.
Yeah, Russian are a strong combination one side. And today, Aaron Hawley rolling back the clock. He got 4, Josh Tower got 4. Josh Dudley got 3, another promising young player coming through. Jack Saxon, good to see you back playing. Jack got 1, Andrew Moods got 1, and Jake Kelly and Kyle Lund. So good performance by Russian. St John's couldn't live with them, unfortunately, in that game.
And just before we move on, going back to JCK Division 2, we've just had a text in asking, will the Paul Rose game be replayed or do Malou miss out on a hatful of goals?
Yeah, unfortunately Malou miss out. Rules are rules, and the game wasn't fulfilled. It can't be rearranged, and yeah, they miss out. It's just the way it goes. It's unfortunate.
I haven't yet got the score for Combi 2, Ramsey Youth Centre versus Braddon.
Just got it now through. Thank you, Andy Black. And again, it's right, we've got the goal scorers. Ramsey Youth Centre 8, mm-hmm. Braddon 0, Max Sybil with 4, Evan Johnston got 1, Kyle Sale got a goal, Andrew Crowe got 1, and Mark McClurg got 1 as well. Well done, Mark. 8-0, And thanks, Andy, for getting the score through to us.
The Castletown and Colby game was postponed, so Union Mills 5, Foxdale 0.
And it was Jack Murray with one, Owen Sherman got a goal, Ben Evans got two, and Jason Gatt got the other goals 5-0, and just got Ramsey's goal scorers in for the Premier League. Dylan Pickles with both. That was against Corinthians in that Canon Life Premier League game.
I haven't yet got the scores for Oncombe versus Jim's.
No, I haven't got that one through.
Okay. And then Governors Athletic 3, Michael 3.
Yep. Got the score spot on, but unfortunately we haven't got any more information on that fixture.
Okay. Well, let's just throw ahead to what's on tomorrow, because you've still got some football to enjoy. So in the women's, we've got Douglas Royal versus Corinthians and also Douglas Old Boys versus Peel.
Yeah, that's the start of the Floodlit Cup. What happens now is that the women have played six games on grass. So now we go into the Floodlit Cup because obviously the pitches are in good nick at the moment, but normally they start to struggle, and it's the start of it. It's a repeat, basically, of the fixtures as they were at the start for the grass. So Corinthians had the better Royal on that day, the first game of the season, but tomorrow could be completely different, shorter time. And played on the floodlights is always something special. So, yeah, we'll see how they go. And the other game as well, it'll be a tight affair, but at least it's on Astro, so you know it's going to go ahead.
Yeah, well, good point. And then in the Masters, we've got Union Mills versus Ramsey Youth Centre, Peel versus Onken, and Colby will take on Governors Athletic.
Yeah, and I think the Colby Governors Athletic is the one everyone's looking at, because Governors Athletic have got a really strong Masters team. Colby have, you know, dominated a little bit Masters football over the last two or three years. So I know Colby are short a few now. There's a few retired and old injuries and stuff. But I know Governors are really chipping away to try and win this league title. So it'll be interesting tomorrow night to see the scores.
Do you play Mets?
No, I haven't played since 1995.
Why not?
Two children and being self-employed, I took the responsible decision to say, well, as a lot of self-employed people have to be careful of is if they get injured, they don't earn.
That's
with the second child, I made that decision. 32, 33, that was enough.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'm sure you're sorely missed.
No, I don't think so.
Thank you very much, Tony Meppin. We are talking rugby next.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
And the Domestic Rugby League returned today after a weekend of memorial matches last Saturday. So in the Trophy, Vagabonds hosted Ramsey and the two Douglas teams, North and South. They played each other. In the Manx Bowl, two of the unbeaten sides, Western Vikings and Vagabonds Hornets, went up against each other. That was at QE2. And Ramsey made the long trip south to meet emerging Nomads, while Castletown were at Ballafletcher to square up against Vagabonds Ladies. So Dave was keeping an eye on both the Vagabonds games today, and it sounds like one in particular sounded like it had everything you could ask for in an exciting game. Fast am I, Dave. How was the Vagabonds match?
It was excellent stuff, Rianne. Absolutely brilliant. It was, I think it's what the players want to turn up and play every week. Disappointment for Ramsey. They lost 28-27. A last minute drop goal from Ryan De La Harpe give Vagabonds the win. But that game, I haven't spoken to any of the players yet. I will be meeting them for a drink or three later on. But I'm sure they'll be buzzing about that game. It started reasonably comfortably for Vagabonds. They looked to be dominant. The scrummage was going well. They were all over Ramsey in the opening phases. And it was former Ramsey man Mark Oldfield that opened the score. And it was just 6 minutes in. And was sat on the sideline thinking, oh dear, this is going to be a long day at the office for everybody. But fair play to Eddie Lord and his Ramsey team. They dug in. And after about 20 minutes, they were back level. Danny Howard got a little bit of space out on the left wing from an attacking move that started in their own 22. And Danny Howard's got a fine set of wheels on him. He was down at the other end with his speed. That leveled the score at 5 each. But as half-time approached, Vagabonds hit a bit of a purple patch, and Ross McCulloch and John Riley both went in for tries. Cam Finlay converted one and added a penalty. Dan Richmond knocked over a penalty at the other end for Ramsey, but they were trailing 22 points to 8 at half-time. The second half, Danny Howard went in for his second try just after the break. But as that was happening, there was a bit of a scuffle off the ball. That resulted in yellow cards. Referee Chris Tilf flourishing with the yellow card he was. Connor Casey went to the bin for Ramsey and for Vagabonds Cam Finley and Ryan Dullaharp. So that made it 14 against 13. While that was going on, former Vagabond Peter Frankwick, who's jumped ship and come to Ramsey, he bagged a try to bring Ramsey to within 2 points. And then the teams both restored to 15 men. Briefly it was, because Matthew Meekin then picked up a yellow card for Ramsey. That made it 15 against 14. And despite Vagabonds having the one-man advantage, Dan Richmond sneaked over for a try at the other end to get the Northern Noses in front. He converted that himself. And Ramsey were in front 27-25. And as the clock was running down, it looked like they were just going to hold on. And then out of the blue, Ryan Dullaharp managed to sneak over a drop goal. And we don't see many of those in Isle of Man. The sticks, about 30 metres out. But his kick was good. It didn't fly perfectly, but it was enough to take the win. For Ramsey, they'll be disappointed, but they do pick up two losing bonus points. They finished within seven and scored four tries, so that may leave them top of the table, although we've just had the late result in now from Portishee, Douglas South against Douglas North, and that's finished with a win for Douglas North, 57-52. So a big scoring game down there at Portishee. Don't have any more details than that, other than each side scored eight tries. So that will put Douglas North on top. They beat Vagabonds last week. And as soon as I get that league table done, I'll get that published on englandrugby.com. But Douglas North will be top of the table with 10 points. Ramsey will be in second with 7. And Vagabonds then after that with 4. Southern Nomads, of course, the other team in the competition, didn't play today. There's only a 5-team league, so a week off for Southern Nomads. They're back in action next week. In the Manx Bowl, I have got some try-scoring information. If we just hold on, I'll get it displayed for me. Big score on the other pitch, Castletown and Vagabonds Ladies. Everyone seemed to be enjoying the game, which is a massive plus, because we weren't really clear how that was all going to work out. It seems to have worked okay, and said everybody who was that were playing with smiles on their faces. Sadly, got no scorer information from Vagabonds Ladies, but for Castletown, Adam Creemore scored 7 tries. Marco Santos 2, Rob Bell 1, Kunal Patel 1, Jim Emmett 6, Morgan Armstrong Patton got 1, as did Peter Martin and Connor Coulthard. Well done, Castletown and Vagabonds Ladies. Bonus points there for both of them, because they each scored 4 tries during the game. Elsewhere in the Manx Bowl, we've got Emerging Nomads go top of the table. They beat Ramsey B 37-7. Peter Crowe with Ramsey's solitary try and a conversion from Ben Harding. For Emerging Nomads, Ori Watterson picked up 2. There was also tries for Sammy Ben-Batul, Mike Quayle, Ben Fry, Ari Brooks-Lund and Kieran Madrill, with Ari Brooks-Lund kicking 1 conversion as well. And in the final game of the afternoon, it was Western Vikings and Vagabonds Hornets, both unbeaten going into the game, so somebody was going to come out with a defeat, and it was in fact Western Vikings who went down, the Vagabonds Hornets beating them 69-14. 2 tries for Jack Goodwin for Western Vikings. But for Vagabonds, it was an impressive looking team sheet when I looked at it. We've got hat tricks from Arno Kruiwagen and Tom Gascoigne, 2 from Ben Swindlehurst, 1 try from the captain Dylan Chambers, 1 from Kieran Moore, and 1 from Tom Rowley. And kicking today, there were 7 conversions in all. Tom Rowley with 4, Tom Gascoigne with 2, and Johnny Beckley with 1. So that leaves Vagabonds, Hornets and Emerging Nomads tied at the top of the Manx Bowl standings. Round 3 will be coming up next week, and I can't wait.
Dave Christian, thank you very much. Go have a lie down after that Vagabonds game. It sounds like you need it.
Manx Radio Saturday Sport.
Now, onto a sport that I personally didn't realise was competitive on the island, and it's ideal for this time of year, and many of you may have happy and or physically painful memories of playing it as a kid. It's Conkers. Now, every year at the Braid Hall, it plays host to the Isle of Man Conkers Championships. So I spoke to this year's junior winner, Georgia Halsall, and fellow player and mum, Trudy. So firstly, congratulations. Big achievement. I honestly hold my hands up. I didn't know this was like an annual competition, and it's so cool that it is. Firstly, how does it feel to win?
Feels like exciting because it's like unique. So it's like you kind of feel like you're excited about it.
It's very unique. And how did you get into it?
I just copied my sisters and stuff like that, and just we've been for a couple of years, so I just practicing.
So for those of us who don't know the rules, can you sort of give us the guidelines of how the game works?
Yeah, so basically you don't get a conquer. You have to like get it there, so you can't like fiddle over anything before that. And then basically you try knock someone's conquer off like their string, or like it'll fall off itself. Or there's like best of threes, and like whoever hits it more like wins and goes for the next round.
How many rounds were there?
I think that was about like four.
Oh, right. Decent.
And there was like kids and adults, so quite a lot.
So, and you said you get given conkers, so you can't fiddle with them. Have people fiddled with them in the past and like sort of weighted them?
Yeah, kind of, because I was against this other person, and he wanted to like get his own conker, but he had to swap it every time.
So talking about the rules again, you've said that you're not allowed to bring your own conkers. So how does it work on the day?
So basically they hold it out, and you can't, there's like a black marking on the string, and you can't really like see the black marking when she gives it to you. You've got to like pick it out like anonymous, so you can't really see it. And it's like kind of better like the black like thingy onto the near the conker, because you kind of better at hitting it and kind of on target if it's more down.
Mm-hmm. And you've got your trophy here in front of us, which is a lovely trophy, and there's some names there that we actually recognise on it. So how long has the competition actually been going on for?
1998, around there.
Okay. And would you mind reading a couple of the names of previous winners?
Yeah, well, it's the Mary Somerton Memorial Cup, and it was donated. I remember Mary Somerton as a child myself, because I've lived at the Braid like all my life. So I do remember Mary. After she passed away, she donated this, and that's when the competition started. So it goes back to 1998, and you've got, I think the first winner was Louis Taylor in 1998, then you've got Bryn Snell-Grove, and then obviously you've got Jessica Holzall, George's sister, 2011, and then you've got the Quay brothers. There was quite a bit of competition, I remember, that year. They were triplets,
right,
and they've all won it. So William, Alfie and Frank, I think. And then last year's winner was 2019, Lorcan Keating.
So to budding conquer players, what would your words of wisdom be?
Just like, don't whack it too hard so your conquer like falls off. Just like whack it as many times as you can on target, and then hopefully theirs falls off so your conquer doesn't like feel smushy or something.
Smushy.
Yeah, because
what
happened in the final, you were against George in the final, and he was hitting your conquer pretty hard. And...
yeah, so then his conquer got kind of not as like soft, so it like would crack if he hit mine hard.
Mm-hmm.
So that's how I won, because I hit his conquer and it fell off.
Good tactics.
It's just a lovely event, and you know, long may it continue, really.
Georgia Halsall and Trudy Halsall there. A huge congratulations to Georgia. And finally, many might celebrate turning 70 with a party rather than with 3.5 hours of continuous exercise, but not for one Margaret Brown. Earlier this week, the Onken resident completed an indoor marathon that saw her run, cycle and swim for 70 minutes each, all to raise money for Manning Cancers and Asthma Research. Beth Espy went to speak to Margaret while she was on the bike.
I have put a lot of probably 12 months worth and maybe hundreds of hours worth of, you know, training. And I think that's what's helping me through, really. I started Couch to 5K, and I've just kept it going since then. Lockdown was a bit of a nuisance because it interrupted a bit and I had to pick it up again. But, I mean, I'm just blown away by the support I've had.
So how did the run go then?
Probably better than I thought, really. Maybe because I knew it was the one, whereas when I've been training, it's just all been so boring leading up to it. You know, I've known there doesn't appear any light at the end of the tunnel, but today when I knew it was the actual challenge, yeah, it did seem to pass quicker.
And you are physically prepared for this, but as many people say when they do a challenge of this nature, it's the mental aspect of it, isn't it? It's getting your head into the right space.
It is, and on the day, of course. And when I've trained, I've done 2/3. So I'm pretty sure I can do that. It's the last third, really, and whether I've eaten the right things and, you know, drunk the right things, that's the thing. So I'm just hoping that I won't have to be scooped out of the pool at the end of it.
You have got some support here. Can I just get you to introduce yourself for me?
Yeah, hello, I'm Denise Brideson, and I'm here to support my man in cancers. I'm on the committee.
And really what you're doing here, Denise, is egging her on, I think, you know, giving some support from the sidelines. By any stretch of the imagination, this is an incredible thing to do.
It is. I mean, I met Margaret when she started Couch to 5K, so I know that, you know, when she started, she couldn't run at all, and she's just come on leaps and bounds. And I think, you know, she knows it's a mental attitude, and it's believing in yourself. And also having a good cause, you know, so doing this for the charities just gives you that impetus to carry on and achieve.
And in terms of raising money for Man in Cancers, we've heard that this is going to go towards purchasing some fantastic equipment for the island.
Yeah, the CT scanner unit, you know, it's just an amazing unit. I was lucky enough to go along and see them before the official opening, which is this week. So they are amazing and are going to help so many people.
Margaret Brown there, a huge congratulations and belated happy birthday to her. What a fantastic achievement. And that's all from me today. As always, thanks very much to all my guests and, of course, to you for your company. Thank you very much for listening. I pass you back over to the wonderful Radio Caroline now. And until next time, happy sporting, have a lovely weekend, and I'll speak to you soon.